Fantasy TV.
I'm going to talk to you about spirit today. What is spirit? And then what is the Holy Spirit? What is the spirit of truth? What is Spirit Airlines? And how do all things cohere? And if you want answers in Genesis, where do you go? Well, the one place you don't go is a website called Answers in Genesis. Greetings, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZTV. We are going to look into the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I ended up here, but I found this article called How is the Holy Spirit... Oh my gosh, you're going to... This is in answersingenesis.org. If you want to laugh, go here. How is the Holy Spirit involved in creation? How is the Holy Spirit involved? You notice the question is already posed with the assumption that the Holy Spirit is a person, that the Holy Spirit is a third part of a Trinity. This is an article by Eric Lutz. Biblical Authority Devotional. That's what this section is called. Biblical Authority Devotional. Authority of the Spirit, Part 5. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit was also involved in creation. Wow, involved? The Holy Spirit was involved? Let me say this from the get-go, from the jump here, is that I'll just define spirit right away, then we'll get into details. Spirit is God's power. Spirit is the manifestation, the visible manifestation of God's power. It's God. It's indistinguishable from God. No, I don't want to say the word indistinguishable because God is completely indistinguishable. Actually, the Spirit is the distinguishable part of God. That's a part of God we can see. Pneuma is the Greek word, also the word used for wind. You can't see the wind, just like you can't see God, but you can see the effects of the wind. The leaves are blowing, or your patio furniture, if you're in South Florida in hurricane season, your patio furniture is flying across the yard out into the street, or your roof is coming off. That's, you see the action of the wind, the result of the wind, but you don't see the wind itself. But that's the power of God. It's invisible, but it is indistinguishable from God. It's another way, really, of saying God, except we want to emphasize his activity in the aeonian times. Like I told you yesterday, time is a framework for God to reveal himself. The Spirit is also a way to talk about God as he is revealing himself in time. How's that? That wasn't too bad. Don't ask me to repeat it because I'm not sure I could do that. Today's big question, according to answersingenesis.org, how was the Holy Spirit involved in creation? It's like asking, how was God involved? This is how ridiculous it is. Let's take that first statement. According to the Bible, I'm going to substitute God for the Holy Spirit, because basically that's what it is. It's just another division of God. It's like a subdivision of God. It's a visible manifestation of God. It's not a manifestation of God himself. It's a manifestation of his power. That's what I want to say. According to the Bible, God was involved in creation. God was involved. Oh, wow. Glad of that. Today's big question, how is the Holy Spirit involved in creation? We have seen previously that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ is no such thing. He's not a second part of a Trinity. There is no Trinity. He's the Son of God. God is a... God is not even a being. God is the... God cannot be located. God is not a creation. God had no beginning and no end. It's misleading to say he is a being, but I don't know what else to say, really. God is... It's not even right to say the power by which all things consist. I'll just use a scriptural term. God is the Father and the creator of all. There, he's creator and Father. And Jesus Christ is his son. Simple enough. Jesus Christ came out of God. He's the son of God. So we have one being, if you will. I don't know how else to put it. Okay, yeah, I did agree to use other terms. We have one Father, out of whom all is, 1 Corinthians 8:6. Why not just quote Scripture? We have one God, the Father, out of whom all is, and one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom all is. Everything came into being out of God, including Christ, but after Christ, everything came into existence through Christ, the power of God operating through Christ. So Jesus Christ was not a second person of the Trinity. The Trinity is a lie. The Holy Spirit is not a separate entity. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's God in operation, visibly in the world. I'm going to get into that here in a moment. But I had to share this with you, as it's so ridiculous. We have seen previously that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, they got that right, but they should have stopped right there. The Son of God and the second person of the Trinity. You see, they were doing fine with the Son of God, but then they have to add their 2 cents, or should I say, that's not even worth 2 cents. And the second person of the Trinity was involved with God the Father in the creation of everything, was involved. No, he was, that's just so weak and light to say he was involved. All came into existence through him. And apart from him, not one thing came into existence. John chapter 1. Involved. God delegated the power of creation to his Son, the Son of God. Now, in Genesis 1, 2, we see that the Spirit of God was also involved in creation. Also involved. Maybe it should get an award for best supporting role in the creation. The Holy Spirit, again, is the power of God. It operated in Christ, but it came out of God. The creation came out of God through Christ, and the power by which that creation came into being through Christ was the Holy Spirit. What is spirit? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me start this way. All things consist because of God's power. I'm going to get to that word consist in Colossians chapter 1 in a moment. The power by which God operates is called spirit. Now, I want you to understand this word. Think about this for a moment. I realize that this word spirit has been spoiled by church people who define it as that power which energizes swaying, hand-raising lunatics rolling in and out of church pews shouting, Jesus, Jesus. But that is not spirit. Some of them bark, they crawl, they pretend to heal people, and they shake and they rattle and they roll. That is not spirit. That is known as mental disorder. I don't want you to confuse spirit with mental disorder. Spirit is operating and causing all things to cohere. The presence of this thing called spirit, it may be a difficult thing to believe, but it is not a difficult thing to understand. And I'm going to give you a very simple analogy. This is the way I understand spirit. Spirit is God's electricity. Though you cannot see it, you accept the reality of the electrical current due to witnessing its effects. I do have a favorite quote about electricity. Comes from a Frenchman, Auguste Villiers d'Isle-Adam. That's right, Auguste Villiers d'Isle-Adam. He was a French writer. He wrote in a book, Tomorrow's Eve, this is a quote from him, brunettes are full of electricity. Yeah, that was Auguste Villiers d'Isle-Adam. That's my favorite French writer now. Brunettes are full of electricity. Great insight there. So who invented electricity? God did, of course. Humans discovered it. It's so weird to think that even back in the Bible days, people probably, the air was dry, they would create sparks. You know, if their feet, you know, in the winter when your feet rub across the carpeting and you touch something, there's a spark. They saw that. And certainly the lightning was observed and the power was seen by the ancients, and yet they didn't know how to harness it. But this is a good analogy, I think. If the wind thing doesn't do it for you, this is a good analogy of God's power. It's a fair comparison to spirit. Both relate to light. This is why I like this analogy. Both relate to light. One is literal and physical, like these lights that are illuminating my studio here. And the other is metaphorical and spiritual. Spiritual light, spiritual understanding, spiritual realization comes to you by an infusion of God's spirit, God's power. And it turns on the light for you. There you go. The light, the light. It's a great analogy. You can't do that with wind. No, you can't. You can't come up with that analogy with wind. Electricity. It can power your fan or your blender, but it can also make your hair stand up. You pull it out of appliances. You take the electricity out, and the appliances that are dependent on it stop. My dad used to unplug my sister and my fans during the summer. This was the saddest sound I've ever heard. You always have fan on because of this, even in my adulthood. If my dad thought it was not warm enough for us to have our fans on all night during the summer, he would sneak into our room when he went to bed. We went to bed a couple hours before my parents, and we always went to bed with our fan on. My dad said, okay, your fan will help you sleep, so you can go to bed with your fan on. But when I go to bed, you talk about this is like dad was God. When I go to bed, if I deem in my sovereignty that it is not warm enough to justify the running of your fan all night because it might cost 3.5 cents worth of electricity if I ran it all night, then I'm going to tiptoe into your room and pull the plug. And my sister and I would just live in fear of that because to me, there was no sound so sad. This is how great my childhood was. This is traumatic for me. This is the most traumatic thing I endured in my childhood. Is that fan turning off? You really try to fall asleep. Like, I got to fall asleep before God comes in here and decides what to do with my fan. You really try to fall asleep. Please, God, let me fall asleep. And, of course, when you're trying to fall asleep like that, you can't. The pressure was too great. And then you keep looking at the clock. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then you'd hear the footsteps of God coming down the corridor. It's like, oh, no. But there was no feeling. I could still feel the thrill of this today when God, i.e. Dad, would shut the bedroom door and the fan would still be running because he deemed it to be hot enough to keep the fan on. And then it was like, oh, it's going to be on all night. This was so glorious. The Spirit of God, the manifestation of it, will be filling my room. The wind, the glorious wind of God's Spirit. And the white noise, the accompanying white noise, which I love. I'm addicted to white noise. I have to have it. Will be filling my chamber for the entire night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was nothing so sad as that door not being closed and the shadow of God coming into your room. And the pulling of that plug and the winding down of that fan, the Spirit of God being removed from that beautiful rotating object, was the sound, to me, the sound of death. The dead silence that ensued was so depressing. I was ruined. Really, I was ruined because of it. And I swore then, because you might say, well, Martin, when your dad then left the room and closed the door, why didn't you just turn your fan back on? Because I was an obedient son, and my sister was an obedient daughter, and we did not defy our parents. They were loving people. We would not do that to them. Couldn't do it. But I swore that when I'm an adult, those fans are never going off, baby. And the only reason you don't hear one now is because I'm recording. I have a giant fan over here. You see, you can't see it. I have a fan in the bedroom. There's a fan on the ceiling. There's another little mini fan. I love fans. I love the noise. I can't sleep without it. And And if I'm sleeping in a different place where people don't like fans, I get in my own sensory deprivation chamber. But it's not deprivation. It's deprivation of the general noise. But I have white noise in my headphones. I can sleep with these headphones. These are good headphones. Thank you, Bob. These are great headphones because I'm a professional. I need professional headphones. These are Bose sound-canceling headphones. But I have a white noise app, and I run it through Bluetooth, which is another probably good analogy of the Spirit of God. My sister Kelly says, you're running current into your head every night? What are you doing? Not every night, but if you're Bluetoothing white noise from an app on your phone into your headphones, there's no wire, then you're getting bombarded every night with some kind of electricity. Oh, the Spirit of God then, yes. Okay, I got no problem with that at all. So I have eye shade and white noise, and I can sleep with these things. They're so comfortable. You can even sleep on your side with these headphones. It's a beautiful thing. I'm in my own world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in my own world. But that's death. It's pulling that plug, and the fan stops. That's death. Death is just as sad as a fan turning off. That is death. The body is the solid part of the fan, the working parts, the blades, the motor. That's analogous to the human body. The spirit is the animating force. That's the power coming through that wire that nobody understands. That the French guy wrote a great quote concerning in his book, Tomorrow's Eve, the quote being, brunettes are full of electricity. So that power comes through the wire. And then the wind is like the soul. It's like the animation of the thing, the product of the power and the physical object. I guess a light would be a better example. When you pull the plug, the light disappears. Well, when you pull the plug of the fan, the wind disappears. Where does the wind go? Where'd the wind go? Goes to Hades. That is, it becomes unseen. But when you pull the plug on a light, where does the light go? It goes unseen, right? You just can't. It's unseen. What a perfect analogy. Pulling the plug, that's what people do when they want to die. Shall we pull the plug on Aunt Mary? Well, we better ask her what she wants to do. Whether we should pull the plug or not. So when you pull the plug, you die. The spirit of God gets withdrawn. God takes his spirit away. The body, the physical part, returns to the soil. And the consciousness, the sensations, they just disappear. There's no more video screen. No more sensory perception. That disappears. That's analogous to the soul. In the fan example, that would be the wind. Electricity actually plays nice with gravity, thank goodness. And the reason that objects do not fly off into space when you put them down, you put your coffee mug down on the table, the reason it doesn't fly off into space is because of gravity. Yes. But why is there gravity? Why is there any cohesive force? If you don't like gravity, if you're not a fan of gravity, if you don't believe in gravity, relax, okay? Relax. How about the force that keeps your organs inside your body? God causes everything to cohere and consist by force of his presence. That is, by force of the electric-like and invisible power of his spirit. I'm going to quote you Colossians 1, verses 16 through 17. Now, for in him is all created, that in the heavens and that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him and for him, and he is before all. And all has its cohesion in him. Cohesion, there it is. All has its cohesion in him. The word cohesion, choice word. I like this word. It's well picked by God for this particular revelation. I got to hand it to him here. And God made sure that this Greek word was already in the Greek vocabulary so that he could use it. That Greek word is sunistemi, S-U-N-I-S-T-E-M-I. The Greek word, it's a two-part Greek word whose English elements are together, the suni part, together, and stemi, stand, together stand. And remember, everything consists by God, and it's the Spirit. Because things consisting, things cohering is a manifestation. That your coffee mug stays on the table is a manifestation, you may say, of gravity. Okay, I take it a step beyond and say of the Spirit of God. And then go beyond that and you go to Christ and God. It all comes from God, but it's the part of God that we can see and feel and taste and touch. And it's the part of God that causes us to understand things, to come to realization of the truth, together stand. Were God not present, which that's not even a rational beginning to a sentence. If God weren't here, did God take part? Did God cooperate in the creation? These stupid Christian questions. Did the Holy Spirit contribute? Was it involved, do you think, in the creation? Was the Holy Spirit involved? My God, everything came into existence by the Spirit of God. God spoke. It was kind of like breath. God doesn't literally speak, but it was kind of like breath, trying to put it into terms here. This Spirit of God is, Word of God is, that we can understand. And things came into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. That's Spirit, man. That's Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit involved, did you think, in the creation of light? It came via the Spirit, which is God's power. It's inseparable from God. It's just the way, it's just a part of God that we can see operating, that we can detect. That's it. It's a part of God we can detect. If you're looking at your coffee mug and it's still on the table, you're detecting the Spirit of God. No more, and that's gravity. Gravity is a part of a coherence, and coherence is done by God, and it is accomplished by His Spirit. So let's start a sentence like this anyway, even though it's ridiculous. Were God not present, everything would fall apart. Not one thing would stand together. Soon as stemmy, together stand, not one thing would stand together with another thing. There'd be no cohesion. The very people debating the existence of God, for instance, these atheists, they debate one another once in a while. Sometimes they debate Christians, and these atheists are standing there. They're standing upright at their lecterns, mind you, to argue and gesture grandly from these speaking platforms. Sip water. They sip water during these great intellectual debates, philosophical debates, bullshit debates. The water runs down their esophagi, their corporate esophagus, but their esophagi individually, and stays there by means of peristalsis. Peristalsis keeps the water down to hydrate their bodies, which, by the way, are 61% water. The earth is 71% water. We're talking a lot of water here. And if we're talking a lot of water, then we are necessarily talking about a lot of bonded hydrogen and oxygen molecules. Yeah, H2O, two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen, and these stay bonded. They stay miraculously bonded together. Together stand to keep us alive. We're kept alive by water. The old earth cohered by water, was disrupted by water, H2O, two molecules of hydrogen, amazingly bonding with one molecule of oxygen by means of the Spirit of God, cohering by means of the Spirit of God to keep us alive. And to keep these atheists and agnostics or Christians, whatever they are, accomplishing their lecternian marvels, without either imploding, exploding, or groping in darkness. Yes, the light, too, exists because it is cohering. I don't understand that much about light, so you have to excuse me for not explaining that in depth. If Albert Einstein was here, I would have him help us, but he's not. There are these atheists, then, accomplishing these lecternian adventures, and they're swallowing their water, which miraculously is still water. Their bodies are not imploding or exploding because of these bonded hydrogen and oxygen atoms. And while engaged in arguments against, speaking of the atheists now, while engaged in arguments against the existence of God, the very subject of their dismissals, God, continually upholds them from within and without, sustaining even their unique fingerprints in the next electrical firing of their divinely darkened hearts. very God they're arguing the existence of is keeping them together, firing their divinely darkened hearts, keeping the water in their bodies, and keeping water itself in existence. What's the matter with these people? What is the matter with these people? I don't know. Well, tomorrow I'm going to go into a verse. I'm going to talk more about the Holy Spirit, why some people think it is a literal person, a part of the fictitious Trinity. There is no Trinity. Drop it right now. It's not in the Scriptures. The Father is a being, if you will. The Son is a separate being, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's God's operations manifested. It's that part of God that we can see that holds hydrogen and oxygen together, holds our bodies together, keeps the coffee cup on the table. And just, you can't say it any more completely or sweepingly than this. Causes all things to cohere. And here, and here, and here.